5 days ago, the world ended. That isn't what this story is about. This is a story about the people trying to survive it. This is a story about the people who would do anything to reach the others out there, out among the ashes. This is a story about canaries in a coal mine and their very last song. The world is ending in a wildfire, a massive, light-devouring force that looks like fire, behaves like fire, but is not. It's something you've never seen before. It is made of shadow and still-burning cinder, and for 5 days has been licking at your heels, snaking its way up and over towering redwood trees of Northern California forests, leaping from canopy to canopy, and you, for 5 days, have been outrunning it. You were trapped. All of you are trapped. And you know it. But no matter what, no matter what happens, you have made a decision. Someone needs to stop it. Or at least someone needs to try. And no matter the consequence, you are here. You're together in the woods with your lanterns and backpacks, and you will make sure that somebody tries. And recently, you heard word of an abandoned fire lookout a few miles north with an operational radio system. You were running out of time. You were running out of air. 5 days ago, the world ended, and you are still singing.
The light of a phone screen illuminating their face, the bright blue amongst the raging orange. A text reads out, "I'm so scared right now. These girls are so brave and so helpful, but all I can think about is if you were here, everything would be okay. Please, God, just text me back already."
I take out my wilderness book and start writing in it. I've had to use it as a diary since it has been lost. And I write, "The sky is a beautiful shade of red right now. I'm with a crew of people that I don't know very well, but they seem nice. They're keeping me alive, and I hope I'm keeping them alive. I don't know. I'm still looking for you guys. I don't know where you are. I don't even know if this was on purpose, but I know I should be mad. I'm still gonna look."
I pull out my iPhone, not sure whether I have service, and record the following voice memo. "I've been thinking about my life out here ever since this fire started, this fire that isn't fire. All the things that I've done, all the things that I didn't do, the things I'm proud of, the failures and secrets that haunt me. And as I think about all of it, my biggest regret is the way things ended between us, Lydia. I don't know if you're out there, but if you are, know that I love you. And I don't know if I'm gonna make it. I'm probably closer to the end than I know, but if I make it, I love you."
I think that this is the message that Naomi left before she went out of service, before she knew that the world was going to end. "Hey, David. Sorry I missed you. You're probably at work, but I just wanted to say one last thing before I go on my trip. I probably won't be able to talk to you for about a week. There's not great service out there, and I want to conserve my phone battery anyways, but I know things have been kind of distant between us, and I'm sorry. A lot of that is probably my fault. Things have just been really stressful, and I think this trip is what I need. But I still really love you, and I'll see you soon, okay? Hopefully better than I was before. Love you. Bye."
Yeah, I think sometime like in the last few days, Carlotta calls her parents, and it goes to an answering machine. it. But on the answering machine, she leaves the message. Hey, Dad. Okay, I know I told you I was staying with a friend, but that might not be strictly true. I'm gonna go see Grandpa. And either I'll hear what you have to say about it when I get service again, or I won't. But either way, I'm leaving this my voice message, and you can't get mad at me. So, bye.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rolling Midnight 30 Candles. I'm your GM, Casey Fleming, and I use they, them pronouns. You can find me online at The Casey Fleming on Instagram and Twitter. Today's game is called Smoke Jumpers. Smoke Jumpers features the following cast members: Lucy Kavaner, she, her pronouns, who can be found online at Lucifer's Kale, is playing Naomi Finnegan, she, her pronouns. Naomi is one of many only kind of successful musicians scraping a living together in LA. Tired of the traffic, unfulfilling day jobs, and bickering with her boyfriend, she's escaped to the woods to find herself, or at least find a little relief from expectation. Esther Wallace, she, she pronouns, who can be found online at Dungeon Minister, is playing Allison Jenkins, she, her. On first glance, Allison seems like your typical butch lesbian ex-forest ranger. She wears lots of flannel and has a knack for finding good hiking trails. But spend a little longer with her and you'll encounter her short temper and sinister secrets that lurk beneath the surface. Jules Pincus, she, they pronouns, who can be found online at WonderHouse7, is playing Sally or Ruby Jackson, she, her. Sally is an eccentric, optimist, girly girl who's just a little bit repressed. She read up on wilderness survival before this all started, so she's good to keep around, even if she's better at explaining how to tie knots rather than actually doing it. It always seems like there's something she wants to say, but she never does. She writes a lot. Enzo Palermo Kent, they, them pronouns, who can be reached at Worlds of Enzo on Discord, is playing Jeremy, he, they, a 19-year-old LARP camp counselor in over their head. His attitude won't help the situation, but they're trying to make it back home. And last, but certainly not least, Karina Revia, any pronouns, who can be found online at KarinaRevia14, is playing Carlotta Cruz, she, her. Carlotta is a college student and kind of a rich girl and was out in the woods glamping with friends. She's still here because her grandfather runs a fire watchtower in this forest, and she knows they're not far from it. That's our cast. I know you'll love them just as much as I do. A few last things to know before we get started. If you're posting about the show online, please use hashtag RollingMidnight, hashtag 30Candles, and hashtag 30CSpoilers to tag your content and to help us see anything you'd like to share with us. You can follow our studio's official account at MidnightCMedia on Twitter/X, Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, Blue Sky, TikTok, and YouTube. For more information about our team and other shows, check out our website, MidnightCeremoniesMedia.com. The game we're playing this season is 10 Candles by Stephen Dewey. You can find his work at cavalrygames.com and support him at patreon.com/StephenDewey. On a final note, 10 Candles is a tragic horror game, and this season deals with many heavy themes, including natural disaster, particularly wildfire and related injuries, apocalyptic doom, death, and violence. Please check our episode descriptions for full content warnings. With all of that established, let's begin.
Now what we are going to do is we are going to go around and say our truths, but I would like you to do so with the understanding that one of you has spotted the fire again over the hill nearby, and whatever vehicle you are trying to get started has not been started successfully. These things are true. The world is dark.
The windshield of the RV is smashed inward. A once smoldering branch hanging limply out on the hood.
It's growing hotter, and one of the wheels are busted.
The gas tank is half full.
somebody left a map in the car.
There's a backpack filled with snacks, like, in the passenger seat of the RV.
While running to get to this RV, my backpack with my stuffed animal and Bofa sword from LARP camp caught fire, and my shirt is tattered with flames that are only recently put out.
On the way here, I dropped my flashlight, but looking at the fire, I don't think I'll need it.
As I was scouting the area about 60 feet away from here, I found two dead bodies. Haven't told anybody about them.
Somebody left a map in the back of the RV. And there is one water bottle, but it is empty.
The RV does have a spare tire, but I don't know how to change it.
And
we're alive.
Alive.
This RV is sitting here, seemingly abandoned, on the side of an off-road. Something you stumbled upon. Half of its side is illuminated by these bright burning flames, but it's strange. The flames reflect the light, but they also capture it. And Sally, as you run towards this vehicle, your flashlight in the background, you watch that whisper of light, that beam coming out from it. Almost like it turns to smoke from light into something light is not, and curls into the fire itself. Like it brings the light back into its being. Then shadow. Who is currently trying to get the RV started, trying to change a tire? Who is jumping on it? Allison? And Naomi and Sally? Allison, what are you trying to do?
I have assessed the situation and I'm trying to just change this tire because that's the first thing I see that's going to be holding us back. And I'm probably trying to triage, like, getting other folks to do different things to, or check things out.
What do you ask them to do?
I turn to Naomi and I'm like, can you check the engine? See if it seems to be in working order, and then to Sally, I guess help her, just take stock of things, see what seems to be busted, what seems to be whole, and we'll see if we can get this thing going.
Yeah, okay. I'll look at the engine. Sally, maybe you could check, maybe in the glove compartment there's like a manual or something? I'm sure that could be helpful.
Yeah, of course, yeah, I'll go over right now.
The first aid kit!
Oh, we should check for that, shouldn't we?
I have a small one.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Okay, I'll check the engine.
Okay. You run up towards the front of the RV. There's a key. There's still a key left. It looks like it needs it to turn on the ignition. Are you gonna turn the key?
Yeah.
You hear the engine, like, cough and tremble to life. A little bit of black smoke starts, like, leaking out the front part of the hood. But it starts. You can hear it running. There's a consistent sound of it running. It seems old. This is an old, old piece of machinery. Part of it looks slightly singed by the fire. Nothing's managed to creep its way all the way up here yet. But it's still working. It turns on.
It's doing something, guys. I don't know. I think it's working. I don't know. I don't know a lot about cars and RVs, but it seems to be at least going.
Let me see if there's a manual in here. Maybe it'll tell us more how to keep this going or something. So do can I like search for a manual again?
Yeah. You want to open up the glove compartment?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's some miscellaneous supplies in here. You see some Kleenex, you see some old, old insurance cards, like 2003, 2004, 2005, big gap, 2018, 2019.
Oh boy.
There's a few just pieces of trash, people have stuff in here, lots of receipts from what seems like a nearby grocery store, maybe a drive-thru somewhere out there. There's an old map, not this area, but somewhere nearby. And way under everything else, stained like somebody put a cup of coffee on top of it, there is a user's manual.
Oh, perfect. Okay. So I found a map, not for here, but if we go somewhere, if this starts up, we can use it. And here's the manual. I don't know if this will help, but yeah. I guess I'd probably give it to Allison or Naomi, one of the two.
Okay, if you're giving it to Allison, you're going to have to climb back around to where Allison is at the tire. So you're rushing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In the meantime, Jeremy, there's a very pungent odor coming from the burned foam equipment in your bag. You're very aware that there's a little bit of like black smoke still peeling off of it. The fire put out, but...
Oh, I ditched that.
Oh, you threw it? You threw the bag?
I full ditched that. It had a giant stuffed animal in it and a massive metal water bottle, a couple of like games and a video game console.
You turn back just in time to see the entire thing go up in flames and vanish back into shadow. Carlotta, where are you?
I don't know anything about car stuff. I guess, okay, Jeremy's not looking so good. Also, I feel so bad that he threw away his stuff. I love stuff. Naomi said she had like a small first aid kit, right? Can I ask her, like, hey, Naomi, can I borrow your first aid kit?
Sure, what do you need?
Whatever. Do you have the... I mean, is it just Band-Aids? Or, like, is there anything for, like...
Burn cream?
Yeah. I've got a little bit of burn cream, I think. It's just a small one. I tried to pack pretty light. But, yeah, there should be. It's, you know, it's a wilderness bit.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah,
that was smart. Okay, I'll take it.
And she hands you one of those little, like, sort of aluminum foil papery
packets, single packet
things of burn cream. Yeah.
Okay. I like jog over to Jeremy and I'm like, okay, if you were to say like where it was the worst, where would you say that is? Because we only have a little bit.
Fuck. Okay.
Be real conservative.
Just give me a thank you.
Here you go.
I like try to assess myself because I'm just like not with it.
Yeah. If it was your whole backpack that went up in flames, there's probably your shirt is ripped around your back and also like where the straps were on the front of your torso. It's pretty hard to tell because all of it is charred. It's like if you left coals in a fireplace and pulled something out of the cinders. That's what your entire torso looks like right now.
I have a question.
Yeah.
It's a little bit crazy.
Go ahead.
Okay, so it was established there's like a bag of like snacks.
Yes.
In the... It's probably not hygienic. Is there any like yogurt or something?
Okay, you take... yeah. No, there's like a Yoplait, like one of those peach ones with like the little, like the orange.
Do they have Danimals?
You know what? No, open that up. No, open it up, please. You open that.
I open it. You want me to put it on your back or something?
Carlotta, what are you doing?
Well, he's like really burned.
Is that yogurt? Yeah. Oh, I haven't had yogurt in so long.
Do you want this?
Honestly, yeah.
Okay, I give it to Sarah. You guys, I don't think this is a good idea.
And then you just hear from the back of the car, focus.
Yeah.
In this really intense, commanding tone.
Oh, Allison, I found a driver's manual.
I'm literally on fire, okay? Give me a minute.
Yeah, sure. Take a minute when the fire's approaching. Right. Thanks for this manual. Do I have, like, a jack? Like, was there, like, a jack or anything to, change the tire with in the RV?
You know, in the time that it's taken them to find the Yo-Play light, I feel like if you've remained focused on the one and only goal of not getting burned to death when this gets here in maybe T-minus 10 minutes, yeah, we'll say you've managed to find some sort of jack.
Amazing.
Along with a spare tire.
So I'm, like, fully on the ground, doing what you do when you change a tire, which
I
have never done.
You guys, like, get out of the car for her? Fuck. Please.
You know, that's
please.
A good point.
Allison is fully, like, lying back under the RV. You've got, like, a little bit of grease on your hands just from touching, you know, not even sure where it came from, just trying to get the old bad tire off. Raise up the RV a little bit, just enough to get the good new one on.
Can you guys look for some tools? I mean, Allison, if you're putting the jack up, you have to, like, we're gonna need stuff to take the wheel off, so don't go raising it until they're out. Guys, can you please, like,
I think I would have
wrench?
Done that.
You did.
Is there a
you
wrench?
Did do that.
Jeremy, calm down.
I was just on fire.
Look,
I'm gonna be helping Allison.
And I like, sort of, like, duck my head out for a second. Kid, I know this is really scary, but I'm gonna need you to focus up, and we'll try to heal you up later when we get the fuck out of here and don't burn alive. So, if you can, focus up, see if there's anything you can do to make this ride smoother, and I hope to get us out of here in, like, 5 fucking minutes before the fire gets here. And then I go back under, and I am fully engrossed in the tire again.
I think I need to be convinced to chill the fuck out.
Okay. Allison vanishes back under the RV. You are doing what, Jeremy? Considerably not chill the fuck out?
I feel like the state of tension between his current situation and where they need to be is, like, truly a huge internal conflict with him getting himself back into the moment. I should state, on top, my vice is immature. And so that is my current state of being.
Carlotta, I think this is probably pretty physically evident on Jeremy's person.
That he's immature?
Not that he's immature, but that they're going, that they're not convinced to listen to Allison, that they're still kind of reeling from this other situation that had just happened to them, and he's not fully in one place or the other right now.
Okay. I'm thinking I would be so sad if I also lost my stuffed animals. So,
half my life was in that backpack.
Yeah, I'm gonna go over to Jeremy. I'll be like, okay, listen, when we get out of here, I will get you a new backpack. But in the meantime, one, do you want any snacks? There's a lot in here. And also, two, do we want to walk around, maybe find a river so you can do whatever for your burns?
Okay, yo, play. I think I'm good.
Okay. No snacks?
I, like, stare at the single packet of burnt cream. I'm okay.
Okay. That's all we got. Snacks and that.
How's the tire coming along, Allison?
I think it's almost done by this point. Like, I just have to tighten a couple of nuts again or whatever, and then we're good to go. And I will do that and scoot myself out and be like, all right, I think the tire's on.
Why don't you give me a conflict roll out?
Ab- Absolutely. So roll all the dice.
Roll 10 dice. If you get any sixes, that's a success.
Yes, 1 6.
Any ones?
1 1.
Okay, you now have 9 dice in your pool for the rest of the scene. Allison, I did not roll any sixes. You have narration rights. What happens with the tire?
All right. I think the tire goes on. It's not as ideal as it would have been to have the original tire, but it'll get us a little further down this old national park road or logging road or wherever it is that we are. And it seems to be stable. So I think I say, everybody, load up. Let's try to get out of here.
Are we just gonna, like, leave the branch? Or is one of you gonna push that out?
Well, you could. Can you help? Never mind. We can do it.
Do it. I'm not very strong, but I can try to pull it out. It doesn't seem too hard.
I can, like, try and push it.
I'll sit in the driver's seat and, like, kind of try and help maneuver it from the inside out.
Okay.
Yeah, let me help. Okay. So I put the ointment in my pocket.
Okay. So, Sally and Jeremy, you guys are going to go try to move the branch. Naomi, you'll try to guide around. Allison and Carlotta, are you getting in the RV?
Yes.
Holy shit, there's so much glass over here. What the fuck?
Well, it is a windshield. That makes kind of sense.
Yeah. All right, okay, Sally. Okay, okay. Since this was your grand plan, why don't you go ahead and give me a conflict resolution roll? See if you can lift that branch out of there.
I rolled 2 sixes and 3 ones.
Unless anyone would like to burn a trait to re-roll one of those ones, I will be taking the 3 ones from the dice pool. Yes, Jeremy. How are you burning a trait or exercising that to help out?
I would like to burn immature and give up halfway through so that competent people can actually take over and do something instead of taking up space being useless.
Jeremy, you go to lift with Sally and realize about halfway through that you're on a good day, maybe about a third as strong as Sally is. And you could keep trying. You could pull harder. But you decide, no, forget it. It's not worth it. Not my problem. And back off. Sally.
All right. I get to reroll it, right?
You get to reroll that one.
I'm going to actually burn this.
Go ahead.
It's done.
Okay. Go ahead and reroll.
Okay. No ones.
All right. Then you keep the 9 dice in the pool. Sally, with a feat of strength that is well equaled by, like, at some point you must have read something about, like, the optimal, like, stance to lift something up in. You need to, like, use your legs, not just your arms and your back, and, like, manage to, like, plant your legs properly and lift this branch off of the windshield. A little bit of glass shatters and sprinkles down across, like, the hood of the car and inside kind of by your feet, Naomi. It lifts off. You can hear the glass. And Sally, you have narration rights. What happens? You're able to lift up the branch.
So I lift up the branch, but after that feat of strength, I realize how slimy and gross it feels. So I toss it to the side really quickly. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that's done. And there's like a bit of a like gaping hole in the windshield, but it's still functional. The branch is out of the way. It seems like the problem is solved.
Okay, let's get the hell out of here. I start the engine again.
You start it. It comes back to life. Barely. It's on.
Oh. I'm in the back of the RV.
Is everybody in? Everybody ready?
Yes.
Yep.
Let's go.
Naomi, you start driving. In the windshield, you can see the fire. It kind of... It's like watching a living gradient. You watch it fade in between this like deep burning red and orange, then back into this tendrils of shadow like state, then back again. Like there's something glowing inside it that keeps weaving its way into the light. You quickly start the engine and keep driving. This is not a road you've you don't know exactly where you are. It's just not where the fire is, which makes it a good enough place to go. Looks like it might be some sort of old logging road or like one of those Forest Service roads they don't maintain quite as well. It's really gravelly and rocky here. It's a very uncomfortable ride, including with the spare tire. The spare is a little bit smaller than some of the other ones. It's not meant to off-road. It's just meant to get you to a stop where you can fix it and put the proper tire back on. You are driving, though. You managed to get it started. It kind of drags itself back into life, and this RV starts plodding its way off down this logging road.
I say, good work, team. Good work.
Yeah. Thanks, Allison.
And then I look back at Jeremy and I'm like, hey, how you doing?
I am laying, like, face down on the, like, futon of the RV, essentially. Just, like, trying not to let the burn from the backpack, like, lay flat on any fabric. I think face down, he doesn't even like look up. He just puts a thumbs up. There's not a lot he is vocalizing in this moment.
I say, when we get to the fire lookout, they'll have a first aid kit. We'll get you patched up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Face down on one of the back bunks.
I'm sorry, guys. I just, like, turn my head to face you guys.
Fine.
All.
Oh, good.
For what? For getting burned?
No, I'm just... I'm not good with this stuff.
Yeah, none of us, like, asked to be a part of this. It's not your fault.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't planning on being, like, a firefighter or anything, so I don't think anyone's used to this. It's okay.
My vice is temperamental, and it is not on top of the stack. It's bubbly, it's under right now. So I am actually a little annoyed by this. But I don't say anything yet. And I'm just like, good work back there.
I turn to Allison. So, what do you think we should do? I mean, we can't just keep running, right?
I think we head up this road as far as we can get, see what's there, see what comes next, try to make it to this fire station. I think running may be our best bet at this point.
But running with a purpose?
Running with a purpose, yeah.
I can vibe with that.
How much gas do we have left?
Like half? A little less now?
Actually, now that you're looking at it, it's going down pretty fast. This thing guzzles gas.
Yikes. Okay. This is not my Prius.
Evan's house had, like, he was like a doomsday prepper guy. He had so much shit at his house. He had to have, like, a gallon of, like, diesel and a gallon of, like, regular gas, because he's neurotic.
Do you know where is?
I don't know where we are right now, but I know where it is. It's back in town, but it's a little ways out.
Didn't we have a map or something? We could use that.
Can you check it?
Yeah, Google Maps isn't working, so, I guess I can map this.
Who had the map? Was that Carlotta?
I don't think I had the map, but I'll take the map.
Oh, I don't remember his street name. It was like 242 something street. Hold on.
I look for 242 something street on the map.
Yeah, you're maybe not getting that far with 242 something street.
Can you see like a 7-Eleven on the map?
Why don't you give me a roll? See how much of this map you're able to figure out and interpret. We'll say that this is one of those maps. It's like one of those topographical maps. It focuses more on like the physical layout of the mountains and terrain nearby. So it would require you both to figure out where you are now, kind of in relation to where the town was.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Carlotta, why don't you give me a roll?
I have 2 sixes and 1 1.
Okay. I don't have any sixes. You have narration rights, but I am taking the dice.
When we started out, Carlotta had an idea of where they were as like a party, and she has an idea of where they're going because that's where she was already headed before everything broke bad and then she joined up with these people. I think looking at it, she can puzzle out like where they are, and then like maybe like sitting next to Jeremy, like on the floor, like next to Jeremy where he's like on the futon or whatever, I can be like looking, scanning the map and be like, okay, here's where we are. This, yeah, they do mark 7-Elevens on this map. Here we go, right here. Here's one.
I'm like, no, hold on, wait. Is that? Yes, yeah, no. Oh my god, that's it. I recognize that, like, little bendy shape here. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, I, like, run the map over to Naomi, I guess, who's driving, and Allison, who's passenger seat, and, like, point out, like, where we would need to go.
Is it near the watchtower?
Is it?
Yes.
Sure. We'll say that it's the watchtower is. Watchtowers are almost entirely on top of something, like the top of a mountain, the top of a hill. This, you guys are like partway up some of a mountain. You would have to kind of like go around it. There's maybe a town somewhere off towards some of the more level area. The tower's above it. It's not out. It's not directly on the way, but it's nearby.
I do want to say that I did not state the next thing I had in my stack.
What's next?
After I burned Immature, my moment is the next thing that has come up, and that is I will find hope when Evan comes back.
What do you think, Allison?
I think we should keep going to the tower and take the most direct route possible. But I'm one person. There's four of you. Let's put it to a vote. Do we go to the tower? Do we make a pit stop at Evan's house?
If we can get more supplies, like gas, maybe.
At a certain point, gas won't even be helpful.
Are we gonna get to the tower with what we have right now?
Can we get to Evan's house with what we have right now? Will that be enough?
Probably not. At a certain point, we're gonna have to get out and just start walking. Mm. And the RV has gained us some time.
Is there AC? It's really hot in here.
Dude, we're in the middle of a forest that's on fire.
I can try fanning you.
That's why I was asking about the AC.
Well, the AC is gonna burn a lot more gas. I beg. Probably. I don't know.
Carlotta, what do you think?
So, kind of the gist of the question. We can't, like, maybe guesstimating from, like, how much we've already used gas. And, like, where we started, where we are now, gas. We can't get to Evans, and we also can't get to the Watchtower, probably, on the gas we have right now.
You can get most of the way to Evans, probably. You could get partway up the mountain. Not all the way to either. Closer to Evans. It's closer. But depends if you want to take the pit stop or not.
Let's talk.
What does everybody think?
I'm worried that going to Evans will lose us a lot of time getting to the Watchtower, and I feel like the Watchtower is the priority. I don't know that we want to gamble on something like that. If we don't even know if Evans still there, if they still have stuff there.
They wouldn't have taken both cars if they left together. So if he's not there, I guess, then maybe his stuff will still be there.
Maybe we might be able to reach out to him if we get to the Watchtower, and maybe double check if he's there or not? Through the radio?
Okay.
Let's vote. Everybody in favor of going to Evans first, raise your hand.
Can I raise my hand out of pity?
Yeah.
I do that.
Okay, Sally, Jeremy. So that's Carlotta, me, and Alliston. Going to the Watchtower wins.
Okay.
Sorry, Jeremy. You never know
what
will happen.
I think I like...
be there.
Yeah, I like pat Jeremy on the back, like, yeah, I think it'll work out.
That hurts.
On his burned back?
Oh. I, like, brushed my hand off a little bit. I forgot about that.
Naomi, one of the headlights on the RV goes out.
Shit.
Keep driving.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
We drive until we can't drive.
Yeah.
It's getting a little bit harder to see. It's harder to navigate without this. You're already on a road that's not meant to be traversed by anything other than a Forest Service vehicles. It's not made for an RV that looks like it's been riding the streets for 25 years. Who is attempting to give Naomi directions? Is it still Carlotta?
Yes.
Why don't you give me another roll? And you only have 8 in your pool now.
Okay. I got 1 6, but also 1 1.
Okay. The one comes to me, then. I also got a 6, so.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, did a candle just go out?
Uh-huh.
These things are true. The world is dark.
We pass by town. And I look longingly at the turn that I'm familiar with to go to Evans.
We still haven't reached the tower. There's still a bit of a way to go.
Something is lurking ahead of us on the road.
But the engine is still going strong.
We find a more well-stocked first aid kit in the back of the RV with more burn cream.
With a sickening crunch and thump, we continue forward.
We found an extra flashlight in the glove compartment.
A light twinkles off to our right side.
There is somebody friendly out there.
And
we are
still
alive.
The other headlight goes out. You hit something. you hear the car go over something that makes this horrible, sickening crunch noise, and as it does, you hear shattering. The second headlight goes out.
Shit. Fuck. Shit.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Keep going, please.
Yeah, keep driving. Do not stop.
Mm-hmm. Can I look out the side of the window to see if I can try to see what it was?
Yeah, you look out the side of the window and you see a light. Not like the firelight, like a light.
Could it be like a person? Did we...
You're not sure.
Guys, that might have been somebody back there. Do you think we should go back?
Is the light coming from where we heard the noise or off in the trees?
You don't see it.
Can any of the rest of us see the light if we look for it?
You cannot.
I don't see any light. I don't know who would be out here in this. I think we should keep going.
It's... Okay, all right. I don't really have the willpower to do anything about it.
How fast are we going?
As fast as we can.
Naomi, you are driving and driving, trying to keep it up, like, eyes narrowing. You're starting to adjust to a bit of the darkness. There's maybe an interior light on somewhere, like a lantern or one of those overheads that you've got, but that's the only bit of light left. You can't even see the stars.
Is there a flashlight in the RV somewhere, guys?
Oh, yeah. I think I saw one in the glove. I saw one in the glove compartment.
I reach for it because I'm in the passenger seat and fish it out, and I try to turn it on.
Okay. You try to turn it on. It clicks on. The beam is bright red.
Is that like a safety torch or something?
Yeah, or like for nighttime? I don't know. My headlamp does that.
Yeah, mine used to as well. This is a little atypical though, but I shine it ahead to see if it does us any good.
You shine it ahead. There is a big metal gate about 5 feet in front of you, blocking the entire road closed. Roll.
That is 2 sixes and 1 1. I'd like to burn my virtue, which is driven. I'm going to slam on the brakes. Go. It's okay, everyone, it's fine. It's just a gate. We can figure this out.
Reroll okay. Your one.
Not a one.
Wait. You slam to a stop, maybe 3 inches in front of this big metal gate blocking the entire road. It's one of those ones with a big physical padlock on the front. There's a chain wrapped all the way around multiple times. Looks old. There's a little, like, the ferns and brush nearby are starting to grow up and over the edges of it. Carlotta, you, in the second the car stops and you no longer hear, like, you still hear the engine, but no longer the kind of all-encompassing sound of this car on gravel and on off-road, you realize you can hear the fire.
Like, from behind?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
I don't suppose anyone has any bolt cutters. Shit, I should have brought some. I don't know.
Wait, hold on. What kind of a lock is it? I might know how to open it up. Do you girls have, like, bobby pins or something on you?
Yeah.
You can pick locks?
Okay, if it's, like, a master lock and they're stupid, then yes, because you could open that thing up with, like, a toothpick.
It just looks like a standard padlock situation to me. I don't know. Try it.
Can I go and, like, get out of the RV?
Yeah, Carlotta, are you going to hand Jeremy some of your bobby pins?
Yes. I'll take them out of my hair. I'll tie my hair back.
Does anybody have, like, scissors or something?
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
Wait, the first aid kit. Oh, yeah, perfect. Yeah. Cool. I just have to, like, shave off the little... I don't know what the fuck to call it, like a nib? The tip? Nibs? That like bubbly thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I'll like scrape that off and try and see if I can fuck around with the lock.
Great. Give me a conflict resolution roll.
Okay, nope, we're good. 3 sixes, no ones. Yeah, it is your standard master lock. Like, it's so shitty, I could, like, slap this thing and open it. And with the bobby pins, it's not a clean job, but I am able to get it done in, like, a minute. Yeah. The chains rattle off. I like push it open. I push the gates open.
It creaks and groans on its way open. You have to push it pretty hard. You can hear the metal.
Gross. Okay, cool. Well,
looks like another road connects with it up here.
Okay.
Allison, you are looking up out. I mean, you guys are. The windshield is broken, there is air rushing through this RV pretty much the whole time, and you look out through that broken hole, and just barely with the light of the red flashlight, there are a couple scattered up in front of you, plaques and guides. This is a walking trail, a trail that people travel down. There's writings about the trees and the history of the forest and whatnot, partially singed at its edges.
Sweet. I think I'm probably familiar with this place. Like, this is probably one of my old, like, beats that I was on in the Forest Service. And so I'm able to turn to folks and tell them, hey, this is a path up to the top. We can get to the fire station if we go up one of these and then cut to the left. There's some lesser used trails, and then it'll take us to the top of the mountain, and we can get to the station that way. The RV won't go on them, though.
Can we, like, I know we said, can we, like, we can do it in a moment. Can I please get some of this, like, burn cream on myself now that we're, like, stopped for a sec?
Question. Can all of us hear the fire, or just Carlotta?
At this point, just Carlotta.
Yeah, it seems like we got a second.
Thank you.
I can't really get at my back, and it's super tight right now, and it hurts a lot. Would somebody, like, help, please?
Oh, I can do it. And I think I, like, because where's the first aid kit exactly? Is it, like, in the back, or do we just have, yeah. I grab it from the back, and I guess I get a burn cream and start.
Okay, hold on, 1 sec. I, like, very sheepishly turn around in the back of the RV and, like...
Mm-hmm. Ow. Okay. Yeah, just let me know if it hurts too much. I'll be slow. And I guess I just, like, start applying it.
They're burn wounds, but they're not quite burn wounds. You touch Jeremy's back and you pull your hand back away. Like, it's hot. Like, you've touched a still-burning ember.
Hmm. Is that normal? Are burns supposed to be, like, hot like that? I don't know much about first aid.
I mean, they're not gonna be cold.
It just feels like they're still burning, but I don't see any fire there.
I feel like I'm still burning. Makes sense? I don't know.
Is the burn cream helping at all?
A little bit.
Kind of.
Okay. Alright.
Just be gentle with it, please.
Yeah, of course. So a little bit kind of like, a little bit freaked out, trying to keep a level head just for Jeremy. And just kind of like, still applying it.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Let me know if you need anything else. I think we have water in the back, or just, it's limited, but, you know, I think that'd help. So, yeah. I'll feel better.
Are you guys ready back there? I feel like we should, you know, keep going.
Okay.
Yeah. Sally?
Uh-huh.
Thank you for raising your hand earlier.
Yeah, of course. Look, I know how much it means to have a friend around, so I get it. I hope you're able to find Evan.
Were you with someone over here?
Yeah. I don't know where they are, but maybe I can find them. Who knows? If they'll have me back.
What were their names?
Georgia, Erica, and Julia. They were my friends from high school, I guess. I hope they're okay. They weren't really like wilderness people, but I think they're a bit more wilderness than me, so hopefully they're out there.
Well, if they're more wilderness than you, then I'm sure they're doing okay. You're managing really well out here.
Ah, oh, thanks. I guess I'm doing what I can. Yeah. You're managing well too. I think we'll be okay.
I hope we find them.
Yeah. I hope we find your person too.
Are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
Give me another roll to start the car again.
Okay. Two sixes and three ones. Does anyone want to turn?
I have like my virtue, which is optimistic. So I can burn that if needed.
Mm-hmm. What?
My vice is lonely, so that's what's next.
Well, yeah, my vice is regretful, which is what was next for me. So I'll reroll these.
Yes, reroll the ones.
Well, that was two more sixes. So
wow.
Total of four.
You have narration rights.
We restart the engine. It takes a little bit to start working, but it does eventually start chugging again. And we're pretty low on gas, but for the time being, it is steadily trucking along while the road is still wide enough to support a full vehicle.
There's a horrible 30 seconds where you just hear Naomi revving the car and it dying, and then finally, eventually, car revs, engine stays on.
Thank God. Jesus. Okay.
Hey, it's okay. Yeah. It should fit up the trail for a bit. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, cool. Yeah. Cool. Let's keep going. Floor it. I guess. I don't know. Cars.
Yeah. Do not floor it.
Yeah.
We are driving on a forest path at night. Do not floor it. Just keep going.
Plus, you know,
is it night? I can't even fucking tell anymore. It's
dark.
Bright and dark.
Might as well
and
be.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, God, I hate this.
Allison, are you standing there with the light, trying to
form
some sort of? Okay.
Yeah, I'm keeping that red beam like straight ahead as I can.
Keep driving. For maybe 20, 25 minutes, just this weird trying to fall. Your eyes eventually adjust into this red light. The path gets a little bit tighter. It's not meant for a vehicle quite this big. And it's like you're driving with one wheel off into the forest. Occasionally you hit sticks or a rock. The whole thing jostles and you just manage to edge over it. Up ahead of you, Naomi, Allison, there is a very small campground. You see a small campsite-looking area. Now that you've thought about it and placed yourself, this makes sense. There's a few plots out here that sometimes people will come up to. This is off of a main-ish road. There's a few tents here You can see clotheslines swinging in the wind, partially coated in like ash and cinder. There are crushed graham cracker boxes on the ground. You can see what looks like some sort of a fire hastily put out. There's a hopscotch game drawn on the pavement.
I'm going to hope that I can see Evan again here at this campground.
Why don't you?
I failed. And the candle's out.
You see up there ahead of you for half a second on that clothesline a sweater that looks just like one of his. And for a second you get there and your mind conflates the two, that that's his, that he's going to walk out of one of those tents right there and he is going to smile at you and he's going to look at you the same way that he always has and everything's going to go right back to the way it was. And you hear his voice, maybe for half a second, walking out of there. A little bit of a laugh.
Jeremy, where the hell were you?
And you blink. And there's just a sweater slaying on a clothesline coated in ash. These things are true. The world is dark.
Evan is gone.
I saw a light and it's still following me.
Someone or something is in one of the tents.
Something at this campsite will give us useful information, bad or good.
I can still hear the fire.
We know what we're fighting. We've seen it before.
There is a single pack of graham crackers at the campsite.
Something's breath is audible.
We are still alive. You've stopped at the campground. Briefly, maybe, just for a moment. There is a pack of full graham crackers on the ground. The clothesline, other abandoned gear. Looks like whoever was here left quickly, didn't bother taking most of their things. There's an outhouse nearby with one of those, like, you know, the moons on the front carved into the wooden door. Yeah, one of those. Maybe clamored out for a second just to see if you can scrounge for supplies. Sally, you still see a light off in the dark.
Is it in like a particular place? Is it like up? Is it like down the road or like where the gate was? Can I pinpoint where it is?
You know those like pieces of art where the painting's eyes always look like they're looking at you no matter where you're standing?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like trying to pinpoint it.
Okay. Allison, I know that you said you didn't see a light, but I don't know. I just get the sense that there's something out there. Do you see it too?
Do I see it now?
Yeah.
You hear something.
I don't see a light, but I hear something.
What do you hear?
You listen close, Allison. And you hear what sounds like a very familiar voice.
Ow.
Going.
Allison! Ow!
Lydia?
Yeah, over here. Just, I can't see you.
I can't see you.
walk towards this light.
Okay.
This red light, can you see, can you see that?
Yeah, okay, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Can you come a bit closer?
This,
I think I see you.
I think I see you. Keep walking forward.
Can the rest of us hear this?
No.
Allison?
Allison's just staring into
the
fire.
Who are you talking to?
Lydia, can't you hear her?
Who's Lydia?
It gets quieter. Allison? Allison!
I know that I shouldn't do this, and yet I walk towards the sound of her voice.
Stop!
The flashlight up.
What are you doing?
Allison, where are you going?
I have to help her. I can't
leave
her out
there. I'm going to physically grab you.
Conflict with space.
That's 1 6 and 2 1s.
Okay. Okay, you have narration rights. What happens?
I grab your arm, and I'm not probably as strong as you, but I'm very determined, and you are in a bit of a haze. So it does stop you for a second, just long enough for you to regain focus.
What the hell? What the fuck is out there?
I don't know, but whatever it is, we're gonna have to be really careful. If it's capable of pretending to be people we care about, this isn't just a fire anymore. Let's,
She's fucking confused. She's probably the high off of the fucking fumes around here.
I am not high. I've spent more time in these woods than half your lifetimes. I know where I am and what I'm doing, and I know what I heard, even if it's not Lydia. It sounded like her.
I think we all might be seeing things or hearing things. Yeah, something's not right. Do you think we should keep moving?
Yeah.
Do you think we can escape it?
We should just keep moving.
Let's scour the campsite, make sure there's nothing important here that could help us and get out of here.
I'm in a puddle of myself and tears in front of one of the tents.
Jeremy?
I would like to say, after I burned my moment, my virtue underneath is compassionate, even if inconvenienced.
Jeremy, is everything all right?
No.
Do you want to talk about it?
Look, we have to get out of here.
Yeah.
I know we have people we care about.
We do.
We have to help each other get out.
Sorry that all of this had to happen.
I'm sorry, kid.
I'm gonna look in the tent. One of the tents.
You open up one of the tents. There's a sleeping bag here, maybe a blanket over top. There's a deflated, like one of those inflatable camping pillows. Maybe a little bit of food.
Okay.
Like backpacking rations. Instant oatmeal.
I'm gonna take the rations. Hey, Jeremy, do you want this blanket? I know your clothes are kind of messed up.
Sure, yeah, we can... No, it's too much to carry. It's okay.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
I'll check and see if there's a set of clothes in here.
Sure, yeah, there's clothes around. You'll be able to find, like, some sort of a t-shirt or something around.
Guys?
Hmm?
Do you hear that?
We listen. Can we listen for it?
You listen. You hear the fire.
Something breathing?
I hold this red light up, and if I hear this breath, I'm gonna walk towards it.
Shit.
Yeah.
One of my candles just went out.
These things are true. The world is dark.
Smoke Jumpers was GM'd and directed by Casey Fleming. This game featured Lucy Kavanagh as Naomi Finnegan, Esther Wallace as Allison Jenkins, Juliana Pincus as Sally Ruby Jackson, Enzo Palermo Kent as Jeremy, and Karina Rivia as Carlotta Cruz. Smoke Jumpers was edited by VJ Harris with sound design by Mitchell Young and Casey Fleming, with assistance from Saffron Heptigal. Music for this episode was composed by Owen Prendergast, with the series theme song by Harrison Lurie, Owen Prendergast, and Jared Charney Cohen. Additional music and sound effects are sourced from freesound.org, zapsplat.com, and soundsnap.com under the Creative Commons Attribution License. For the full list of credits, please visit our website at midnightceremoniesmedia.com. Character and episode art for Smoke Jumpers was done by Izzy Quickly. Our publicity team this season includes Gina Fu, Addie Lillard, Lucy Kavanagh, and Quinn Borzen, and is led by Talon Cruz. The Rolling Midnight logo is created by Lucy Kavanagh. 30 Candles is a Midnight Ceremonies Media production and was produced by Casey Fleming and creative directed by Saffron Heftigal. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review and tell your friends, as word of mouth is one of the best ways to support the show. We appreciate all your support and thank you so much for listening. See you next week for the finale of Smoke Jumpers.
Proud member of the Rainbow Roll Network. Rainbow Roll.
Our stories, our voices.